All right, welcome to the Young Turks. Jay Udranek is fair with you guys. So we got a lot of great programming for you guys tonight and tomorrow, by the way. Tomorrow's Juneteenth. We're going to have our second annual special on that. Alonzo Bodden, Adrian Lawrence, Benjamin Dixon, J.R. Jackson, Jason Carter, Ida Rodriguez, myself. So we'll have the regular show 6 to 7 p.m. as usual. Then at 7 p.m., we are going to do a Juneteenth special where we'll go through history and do some of the things that to kind of set the table and then catch us up to where we are today. But we'll also have some discussion on things we don't necessarily agree on. So an exchange of ideas on an important day. And so don't miss that. That's going to be a really interesting show. Speaking of things not to miss, I wanted to check in on the thermometer. We're well past the halfway mark here. We are well behind, but have done a great job catching up a little bit over the last couple of days. 93,964, trying to get 200,000. Keep us healthy and strong. So important to have independent media around, especially these days. TYT.com/go. Thank you to everybody who participated and continues to participate. Every dollar matters. Anna.
Well, I also wanted to just let you guys know about the post-game show today, which I always love the post-game show. Yes, we've been covering a lot of news stories in the post-game, whereas before it was more of a casual conversation. We still share some personal stories, but one of the stories in the post-game is a topic that I really didn't know I needed. And I'm going to give you just a little tasty taste so you know what we're going to be up to in the post-game today. Take a look.
I am a proud Trump Republican, yearning to be free again. Who are you, victim or victor? Shame on all of you. Let liberty ring. God bless America, land that I love.
She's the hero of the day because I can't wait to talk about that story, give you guys the details. Who is she? And who are you? Victor or victim? You have to find out. Go to tyt.com/join, become a member, get that awesome content, but more importantly, help support independent media like TYT by becoming a member.
Yeah, if you're on YouTube, you click the join button underneath. It's really simple, very similar process on Facebook. But tyt.com/join always works, and we always have the link in the description box. But we did not play the best part of that video for you guys. Believe it or not, her ringing the bell and singing, and by the way, eventually getting the lyrics wrong to God Bless America, are awesome, but not the best part. The best part is when she starts talking about sex. So don't miss the postgame.
All right. But with that said, let's move on to some of the big news stories of the day, including new revelations from John Bolton's upcoming book. So Donald Trump is so desperate to block the release of his former national security advisor's book that the Justice Department has taken things a step further by seeking damning excerpts from the book. But this could potentially lead to John Bolton not being able to collect any of the profits he makes from the book. The administration might be able to do that if they're successful in their lawsuit. Now, the DOJ's move followed their initial action, which was the lawsuit that I'm talking about, arguing that the contents of the book contain classified information, and the release of this classified information would put our national security in jeopardy. No one's believing that. This is a book that embarrasses Donald Trump. There's no question about it. And beyond embarrassing him, there are some damning revelations when it comes to Donald Trump putting himself above the best interests of this country. So let me give you some examples. So Bolton writes the following: had Democratic impeachment advocates not been so obsessed with their Ukraine blitzkrieg in 2019, had they taken the time to inquire more systematically about Trump's behavior across his entire foreign policy, the impeachment outcome might well have been different. Now, look, I disagree with him. I think that the Senate was going to exonerate Trump regardless of what we found through the impeachment investigation. But I do agree that they should have broadened their investigation, not only to look into foreign policy decisions, but as Cenk and I said over and over again during this investigation, they should have also looked into Donald Trump's financial crimes, potential financial crimes. They didn't do it. Also, I just want to note John Bolton saying that the Democrats didn't do enough of an investigation is rich, considering he was called to testify. He was subpoenaed to testify, and he refused to do it. Instead, he saved all of this information for his book, probably because there's a profit motive behind it. But Cenk, I wanted you to chime in before I give you more details.
Yeah, so there's two different issues here. What you think of John Bolton and what you think of Donald Trump. What we think of John Bolton is less relevant because he's no longer in government. He's a terrible person in almost every regard. He's a war hawk. I don't know that I disagree with anyone else more on foreign policy than I do with John Bolton. That includes Donald Trump. I think Bolton is worse than Trump on foreign policy. But that's ideology and principles. And Bolton did a terrible thing here. He claimed, hey, man, look, if you're going to subpoena me, we got legal issues, et cetera, in case of the impeachment. If you're wondering why he did that, if he was just going to spill the beans anyway, I mean, he's why not just say it during impeachment when it would have mattered? Because his book wasn't ready. So mm-hmm. He wouldn't have made as much money if he gave away all the goods in the books during the hearings rather than releasing them now. So his own personal ambition and greed outweighed national security interests that he claims he cares so much about with Bolton. So now that's Bolton. I'm done with him in terms of his, ethics. But that doesn't mean that what he said about Trump isn't true. I believe that it is totally true, and I have a lot of reasons to believe that, even though I don't like the guy. And between Trump and Bolton, I mean, they're both terrible people, but Trump is the proven pathological liar. Trusting Trump over anyone is absurd. And the things that Bolton has to say about Trump are damning.
Exactly. So let's get to this on a more granular level. So Bolton also writes in his book, "I am hard pressed to identify any significant Trump decision during my White House tenure that wasn't driven by re-election calculations." And remember, that was the motive behind Donald Trump attempting to coerce the leader of Ukraine to announce this sham investigation into the Bidens, right? He thought that it would give Trump thought it would give him an upper hand in the election. Now, I also want to just go to a short snippet of John Bolton's interview with ABC News. Here he is with Martha Raddatz.
There really isn't any guiding principle that I was able to discern other than what's good for Donald Trump's reelection.
You say that you were astonished by what you saw. A president for whom getting reelected was the only thing that mattered, even if it meant endangering or weakening the nation?
Well, I think he was so focused on the reelection that longer-term considerations fell by the wayside. So if he thought he could get a photo opportunity with Kim Jong-un at the demilitarized zone in Korea, there was considerable emphasis on the photo opportunity and the press reaction to it. And little or no focus on what such meetings did for the bargaining position of the United States.
And Cenk, he gave so many other examples, including the example of Trump's negotiations with Xi Jinping of China and how those trade negotiations were much more about his chances of getting reelected than anything else. I'll give you those details in a second, but thoughts?
Yeah. So this is the most concerning stuff. Bolton also revealed 18 different ways in which Donald Trump is an absolute moron. And that's entertaining and depressing at the same time. But what's really important is when he sells out our national security for his own benefit. So in the case of the photo op, it's not a light issue because when you give North Korea something that they want, which is a picture of Donald Trump with their leader in the demilitarized zone, you're supposed to negotiate something in return for America, not for yourself. But when you're more concerned about the photo op for yourself and for your reelection efforts, and you negotiated nothing, well, then you've let down the country. and you put yourself above your country, which is not what the president is supposed to do. And that is a relatively minor example. So the major examples are when he says to the Chinese in regards to Huawei and ZTE, two different companies that are very, very important to the Chinese, that he basically will let them get away with doing things that are wrong so that they can get a deal on trade. And that's the thing about the two things that connect these issues is Donald Trump's stupidity. Normally, even if you were going to be that crass and do that, you wouldn't say to the Chinese leader, hey, I need help in my election. That's why I want to do a trade deal. That's why I'm going to give this company, Chinese company, a break that I shouldn't give. You would never say that out loud. But he's too dumb to know how ignorant he is. So he just says it. And Bolton and the others are like, oh my God, he just said that he wants help from the Chinese in winning his election. What the hell is he doing? And that's what he got in trouble for in Ukraine. And if Bolton and the others had had the courage to say this during impeachment, we would be talking about not just Ukraine, but also what he gave away. The two biggest countries he gave giveaways to are China and Turkey. And Turkey's a whole other bag that we'll talk about in a second. And you saw what he did in betraying our allies, the Kurds, and pulling out of northern Syria, because he's making deals for himself. I mean, they had to impeach him on this. Both the Democrats and Bolton were so reprehensible in not getting that done.
Right. So that was a good summary. I want to read some of the excerpts from his book pertaining to the negotiations with China. And I also want to quickly play devil's advocate afterwards, because some might argue, and I've seen this argument all over the internet, well, isn't this what every president does? Every president does these types of negotiations, knowing that if the negotiations end up the way that they are hoping for, it'll help them in their chances of getting reelected. That's a fair argument, I think, but let me give you the details of how it went down with China, and then we can discuss that. Trump's conversations, Bolton writes, with Xi reflected the confluence in Trump's mind of his own political interests and U.S. national interests. Trump commingled the personal and the national, not just on trade questions, but across the whole field of national security. Trump said approvingly that there was great hostility to China among the Democrats. This is what he's saying to President Xi while he's meeting with him. He's like, oh, these Democrats, they're too hard on you. They're too hard on you. And then try to remember the Trump reelection ad where he accuses Biden of being too soft on China. It's just incredible. Trump then stunningly turned the conversation to the coming U.S. presidential election, alluding to China's economic capability and pleading with Xi to ensure he'd win. Trump stressed the importance of farmers and increased Chinese purchases of soybeans and wheat in the electoral outcome. I would print Trump's exact words, but the government's pre-publication review process has decided otherwise. And then he writes, Xi agreed that we should restart the trade talks, welcoming Trump's concession that there would be no new tariffs and agreeing that the two negotiating teams should resume discussions on farm products on a priority basis. And here's what Trump said to him. You're the greatest Chinese leader in 300 years, the greatest leader in Chinese history.
Oh, God, what an idiot. What an idiot. So I'll tell you why he says the things that he says in those segments there. So first off, why is he telling me he's the greatest leader in 300 years? Because Trump thinks that's what I would want to hear. And so if I compliment him this way, he'll give me something I want, because that's how his mind works. If she gave him a compliment like that, he'd be like, oh, what do you need? Get keys to the city, keys to the country. I'll give you anything you want as long as you compliment me. So that's why in his tiny, minuscule little mind, he thinks, if I give him over the top compliments, I'm going to get help with the election. And second of all, what a terrible negotiator. He tells the side, oh, what's really hurting us is what you're doing with the tariffs on agriculture. Why would you tell them that? Okay, then they know that that's where their leverage is. World's worst negotiator. And then he's like, Britney, please help me with my election. Begging, tipping your hand, and over-the-top compliments of the other guy are not well known for making a good deal for your side. He just sucks at this.
Yeah, he should take lessons from Melania, who really knows how to use her own leverage to get a better prenup contract, for instance, right? But anyway, moving on to the other examples that were provided by Bolton. So there was some question about why Donald Trump decided to let ZTE off. That's the Chinese company that broke the U.S. Sanctions against Iran, right? So why is it that Trump did that? And Bolton did address it, right? Now, we focused on possible financial ties and how immediately after the ZTE case was dropped by the Trump administration, all of a sudden Ivanka Trump gets rewarded all these trademarks in China. I'm sure that that plays a role as well. But according to Bolton, Trump did it because he wanted to distract the public's attention away from Ivanka Trump's own email scandal. So Ivanka Trump was also using her personal email in order to conduct official White House business. And to make matters worse, she was doing it for months before she was even a White House employee, right? So she was a private citizen for months using her private email in order to communicate about official White House business. And Trump allegedly said, this will divert from Ivanka. If I read the statement in person, that will take over the Ivanka thing.
Well, I'll give him a tiny bit of credit there, Anna, because that's the first time I've ever heard of him doing any type of strategy. But now let's note the strategy here. I will cheerlead for a person who dismembered a Washington Post columnist, because that'll distract from my daughter's law breaking, the thing that I said my political opponent should be put in prison for. Let's go out there and say, yay, beheadings and dismemberments by Muslim fundamentalists. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, I'm sorry, there's just so many moving parts. I want to be crystal clear. I mixed a few things up. So yes, the ZTE thing did happen. And the reason why he dropped that investigation is because he was working on that trade deal with China. So it's a favor for a favor, quid pro quo. That had to do with the ZTE issue. With Ivanka Trump, he wanted to distract from her scandal by releasing a statement in support of Jamal Khashoggi, of what happened basically to Jamal Khashoggi. And here's what his statement said in November of 2018. It could very well be that the Crown Prince had knowledge of this tragic event. Maybe he did and maybe he didn't. That being said, we may never know all of the facts surrounding the murder of Mr. Jamal Khashoggi. In any case, our relationship is with the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. And I remember reading that statement when we covered that story in 2018, Cenk. But it's just amazing because in his mind, and I don't know, I mean, I guess this is proof that he really does love his daughter Ivanka, because in his mind, releasing a statement excusing the dismemberment and the murder of a U.S. resident and a Washington Post journalist is better than having the public pay attention to his daughter's email scandal.
Yeah, well, look, he also doesn't think dismemberment's that big a deal. No other decent human being would think that that was like a good way to distract folks by being in favor of that. And let's also note that he wanted to do a total ban on Muslims, but when there was actually a terrorist who happens to be Muslim, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, who beheaded and dismembered someone, he was his biggest cheerleader. So it never has to do with crime or the things that he says he's going to try to solve. No, it's always me. And look, on the Turkey issue, also helping Erdogan try to avoid sanctions for lawbreaking. And he said that he would try to get the prosecutors removed from the case for criminal lawbreaking that we were pursuing inside our country. In other words, I'll help you break the law, Turkey, in return for favors. Well, as we saw later with the withdrawal from northern Syria, he did the government of Turkey a lot of favors. At this point, it's not perfectly clear what he got in return, but I'm very curious about that because it's always personal with Trump.
We're going to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to tackle one other angle to this story, and it's the fact that Bolton calls out Donald Trump for being an idiot. We'll be right back.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called Unfucking the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of Unfucking the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it, "You must unlearn what you have learned." And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
All right, back in the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. Lots of fun comments I want to get to in a second. But speaking of comments, we also take them on a show we're doing tonight. It's called Between Me and Uyghur. Fun name. It's on Twitch. It's must-see TV, so it's Thursdays at 8 o'clock. That's for old people like me. Boomers, you remember that. James Cromwell is my guest. Host, star of Babe and 7,000 other movies, and an enormous progressive. You'll love James Cromwell. Twitch.tv/TYT. That's tonight. Twitch.tv/TYT. And check out our show and everything else, all the shows we have on Twitch as well. All right, just a fun little tweet here, and then one or two more comments, and we'll go back to the news. On the Derpy Dragon tweets in, Donald Trump is an idiot. And water is wet from the perspective of water. Dimesh Synthesis 420 also says, for all the fear-mongering about China coming from the GOP, they didn't seem to care when Trump made the decision to let them spy on our military and intelligence agencies through Chinese ZTE phones. That is absolutely right. And it is one of the more damaging, not just allegations, but really proof that Bolton has. Because we already knew those allegations, but Bolton says, yes, it's definitely true, and clearly hurts national security. Millennial Hero with a fun comment in the member section, of all the things I miss about TYT pre-COVID, the soundboard is number one. And he says, Sarabies, Avi Kibar, Trump, Sarkar, and animals are innocent. The good old days. Amy says, receive my great indoors t-shirt today. Love it. Love you guys too, especially Anna. Thank you, Amy. We appreciate it. And shoptyt.com. There's two things that are going like hotcakes. One is the great indoors t-shirt, which is fantastic. And now we got the masks that say, if you can read this, you're not practicing social distancing. We might sell out of those. So shoptyt.com. Go nuts right now. Casper.
You described the president as erratic, foolish, behaved irrationally, bizarrely. You can't leave him alone for a minute. He saw conspiracies behind rocks and was stunningly uninformed. He couldn't tell the difference between his personal interests and the country's interests.
I don't think he's fit for office. I don't think he has the competence to carry out the job.
That was Donald Trump's former national security advisor, John Bolton, who is coming out with a book that Donald Trump does not want published, but it appears that he's unable to stop Bolton from publishing it. Now, in the book, he argues that Trump engaged in various instances of quid pro quo against the best interests of the U.S. People living in the United States, but in the best interest of his reelection chances. But more importantly, finally, we have someone calling it like it is and not gaslighting us when it comes to the utter incompetence that we've been experiencing by Donald Trump. So in his book, Bolton writes, he second-guessed people's motives, saw conspiracies behind rocks, and remained stunningly uninformed on how to run the White House, let alone the huge federal government. Also, in a 2018 meeting with Japanese officials, ostensibly about trade policy with North Korea, Trump was told the United States had no greater ally in the Western Pacific than Japan. Trump brought up the attack on Pearl Harbor in December of 1941. In that context, guys, when we were attacked by Japan. Okay.
The Prime Minister of Japan left quickly thereafter. We nuked Japan twice. But that's right now, they're a great ally. That's what we're trying to focus on. We need allies. And no one, insults allies better than Donald Trump, and also befriends dictators and our enemies. I mean, if he's not an agent of chaos, he has a funny way of showing it. I mean, he literally could not be more incompetent in foreign policy if he tried, if he's not doing it on purpose. And we haven't gotten anywhere near the worst part.
So let's focus on some of his foibles when it comes to the Middle East. Trump constantly, according to Bolton's book, confused former Afghan president Hamid Karzai with his successor, Ashraf Ghani. In the midst of sensitive negotiations with the Taliban and the Afghan government, Trump told advisors he believed Ghani was corrupt and that he owned a mansion in Dubai. Karzai was widely seen by American officials as corrupt, not Ghani.
And intelligence officials had to later assure people that Ghani does not have any mansion in Dubai. That's not remotely true. And so, look, guys, this is among the more important ones in terms of his idiocy. There's his corruption, which is a different issue when it comes to dealing with China, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, etc. But when you're talking about how stupid he is, it actually affects policy because we're trying to do a peace deal so less of our soldiers get killed. And he's like, oh, God, he's corrupt, right? And they're like, no, that's the current leader. Don't say that. Oh, he's got a base in Dubai, right? Like, he always says, like, oh, I don't need to do any homework. He says this stuff out loud, let alone the revelations from Bolton's book. He said that he didn't need to know anything about North Korea because he would be able to tell if they were going to have a peace deal in literally 1 second as soon as he met Kim Jong-un. Only the dumbest person alive would say something like that. That doesn't make any sense at all. So when he actually goes to do deals, the fact that he doesn't know anything obviously hurts our chances of getting a deal because he's telling the Taliban, your main enemy, our ally, is, you're right, he's corrupt and has mansions all over the world, which isn't true. Such an idiot.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't trust Bolton when it comes to his analysis on foreign policy. Let me just get that out of the way, because he loves war. He wants to engage in war. He'll do anything to start a new war anywhere in the world. Doesn't matter. He's obsessed with it. So, but he is right in that, you know, in Trump's quest for peace in the Middle East, all he's done is make matters worse with these mistakes and his lack of intellectual curiosity to, like, just learn what the history is, where we are today, what's the best path forward. He absolutely hates intelligence briefings. In fact, Bolton writes that Trump spoke most of the time during intelligence briefings when he's the one who's supposed to be briefed by the individuals gathering the intelligence. So now let's move on to geography, because this is yet another example of Trump just not knowing much about the world around us. He said at one point, isn't Finland kind of a satellite of Russia? Trump asked, according to Bolton's notes. Bolton says later that same day, Trump asked his then chief of staff, John Kelly, whether Finland was part of Russia.
Okay, look, guys, if you don't know the geopolitical circumstances of Finland, I don't blame you, but you're not the president of the United States. Should the president know that Finland is not a satellite country of Russia? Absolutely. Okay. But when he goes further and asks if it's literally a part of Russia, Oh, come on. For God's sake. You know that Finland's an independent country, right? It doesn't matter what your profession is. It doesn't matter how much education you have. You know Finland. You know Finland is a country. He doesn't even know that. He's the president of the United States. He does not know that Finland is an independent country. I mean, I'm finished with him. I had to throw that in. Okay.
So let's go through more, because there are just so many examples. I want to give you guys as many as possible. Trump also had a difficult time understanding why the United States had any presence in the Korean peninsula, right? And he would argue, it's been 70 years since the Korean War. Why do we have a presence there? And Bolton writes the following about that discussion. I did discuss with Trump several times the history of the temporary 1945 division the rise of Kim Il-sung, the Korean War and its Cold War significance, that old stuff. But obviously I made no impact. We endured this cycle repeatedly, always with the same outcome. And look, I read you that part not because I respect Bolton's perspective on foreign policy. I read it to you because it's yet another example of someone trying to have a conversation to inform Donald Trump about something. And he doesn't care. He doesn't care to listen to what anyone has to say. And he always puts his own personal interests, including his political career, above doing the right thing, right? And nothing made that clearer than his exchange regarding Tiananmen Square. So on the 30th anniversary of China's massacre of pro-democracy demonstrators in Tiananmen Square, Trump refused to issue a White House statement. He apparently said that was 15 years ago, by the way, inaccurately. Who cares about it? I'm trying to make a deal. I don't want anything. And that was that. And when he said, I don't want anything, it means that he did not want to issue a statement commemorating what happened.
Yeah, look, it's not just John Bolton. That's why we believe him over Trump, even though they're both odious characters. Every former advisor says it is impossible to get him to concentrate. He will not read past the page. He will not listen to intelligence briefings. He does not care to know the information presented to him. So, because you would care to know that if you were trying to make national security decisions on behalf of America, and you were just a normal, competent person. One, he hates doing homework because he's a child. And two, he doesn't care about America. He's like, blah, 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 national security, we're in danger. Who cares? What does it do for me? And Bolton talks about that. He says, every decision was done through the prism of what is going to help Donald Trump get reelected. Narcissist, pathological liar, absolute child. And every advisor says, no matter how many times you tell him simple facts, he cannot comprehend them. He's literally too stupid to understand. So, yep. I mean, it goes on and on. In Venezuela, when they're talking about maybe doing a coup, which is terrible, and I don't want it. Bolton did want it. But Trump is mixed on it. At the beginning, he's like, oh, that sounds cool. No, it does not sound cool to invade Venezuela. Okay, it might sound like other things, but it doesn't sound cool. And then later, Putin calls him and tells him, oh, you know that the opposition leader, Guaido, is like Hillary Clinton. And he's like, oh, well, then I'm against it. How simple. I mean, if he's not actually directly taking orders from Putin, then he's the dumbest man in America. Oh, you compared Guaido to Hillary Clinton. But you don't like him. I changed my opinion on Venezuela. Oh, pathetic through and through in everything he does. Anyone who respects that guy, I have no respect for. If you're actually considering voting for him after finding out all this stuff, there's something deeply wrong with you.
Well, let's move on to some good news. And there have been little sprinkles of good news in the news cycle lately. And believe it or not, it's coming from our very conservative Supreme Court. So the Supreme Court has blocked the Trump administration's decision to rescind the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, which is best known as DACA. Now, the vote was mostly split by ideological, justices. So the vote was 5-4 with Chief Justice John Roberts casting the decisive fifth vote that sought to bridge the liberal and conservative wings of the court. Roberts and the court's four liberal justices said the Department of Homeland Security's decision to rescind the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, or DACA, was arbitrary and capricious under the Administrative Procedure Act. Now, of course, conservative judges like Clarence Thomas disagreed with this decision, and Thomas wrote the following: "Today's decision must be recognized for what it is, an effort to avoid a politically controversial but legally correct decision." And I just want to be clear about one thing. Some might think that protecting DACA recipients is politically controversial, but polling indicates that most Americans, including Republicans, are on board with these protections. It's just the unhinged lunatics and Trump loyalists who seem to be against any and all forms of immigration, including legal immigration.
You know, a lot of conservatives are mad at Roberts for this. And, you know, they're saying, well, hey, Roberts, don't you have any eyes? Those dreamers, they're brown. What's the matter with you? No, we don't care that they're successful and they've passed a background check. They've completed high school. Some of them are serving in our armed forces and risking their lives for America. Some of them are on the front lines of treating COVID. We don't care about any of that. They're brown. They're brown. What part of brown don't you understand, you knucklehead John Roberts, right? But it's possible that John Roberts is actually the one being most political here in helping the Republican Party. Well, you say, wait, why? He sided with the four liberal judges, justices. Because 80% of Americans want to protect dreamers. 80%. If the Republican Party is perceived as going against 80% of the country, well, then their chance of winning is greatly reduced. So John Roberts actually did Republicans a huge favor. Now, it's the right thing, and I'm thrilled that the dreamers are protected, and I don't want to play politics with it. But if you did want to play politics and you were a Republican, you should be thanking John Roberts for at least preserving your shot at keeping the Senate. Now, that's why the Republican politicians are torn. The orange baby says he doesn't like it, and you're not allowed to cross the orange baby. On the other hand, if they go into an election in Colorado and Maine talking about how the dreamers shouldn't be protected, they're going to get slaughtered.
So let's talk about the reaction from the orange baby, because he, of course, had his typical meltdown on social media. And honestly, mentioning Second Amendment rights, like Trump mentioning Second Amendment rights, is very much like Giuliani mentioning 9/11 to save his political career. Like, it's kind of amazing, because now there are multiple instances of Trump out of nowhere just mentioning the importance of the Second Amendment. So he wrote, "These horrible and politically charged decisions coming out of the Supreme Court are shotgun blasts into the face of people that are proud to call themselves Republicans or conservatives. We need more justices or we will lose our Second Amendment and everything else. Vote Trump 2020. By the way, fun trivia for you. After the shotgun blast tweet, Dick Cheney started trending on Twitter, which I think is hilarious because he shot someone in the face.
Okay. Another fun fact for you guys. The person who wrote the opinion on one of the cases that he's railing about, the LGBTQ case yesterday, was Neil Gorsuch, appointed by Donald Trump. So vote Trump 2020, because he'll put in people who voted the way that has enraged them. Oops. So that was his main go-to argument for conservatives. Look, it's obvious I'm a douche. It's obvious I'm an idiot. And it's super obvious I'm racist that now a majority of white people in the country believe that. Overwhelming majority of the whole country believes he's a racist. But at least I put in conservative Supreme Court justices. Oops. There goes that argument. So this might actually hurt his election chances more than anything else. And that's part of the reason why the baby is crying.
So let's take a break. When we come back, though, I want to talk about the fact that Matt Gaetz has an adult child that we didn't know about. So we'll share those details and more when we return.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your active ID more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
All right. Back on the Young Turks. Thank you, Granik, experiment with you guys. First, some comments. Jess, hashtag IMTYT, writes in, ordered my TYT face mask when Cenk told us it was in the TYT shop. Got an email yesterday letting me know it's been shipped. Can't wait. Check that out at shoptyt.com. The face mask. This is, if you can read this, you're not practicing social distancing there. They might sell out. Cousin Vinny says, Bolton's a coward and an opportunist. The fact that he's been sitting on all this information for years and is only now releasing it to make a ton of money puts him at the same level as the lowest of the low Republican Trump defenders and apologists. That certainly is true. Pekka says, I do know that Finland is an independent country. I happen to live there. Greetings from Finland. Pekka,
I'm so sorry.
Also Finnish.
I'm apologizing for our country's or our leader's ignorance. It's like, it's so embarrassing more than anything. It's the most embarrassing thing to have to deal with every day. Keeping it tight. All right, let's move on.
Yeah. TYT.com/join to become a member. We get your comments read first. And YouTube Super Chat Feisty Fan says, and Putin is just sitting somewhere like Mr. Smithers. Mark Keister says, thought you should know that recent polling shows Engel down double digits to Bowman in New York 16. That is exactly right. I love that you brought that up. Jamal Bowman now up 10 points against Elliot Engel. Our coverage of it is next Tuesday. Don't miss it. If he wins, he knocks out Engel. It makes all the difference. Today's really the last day that you could send in money to help Jamal run ads. Engel is now being supported by Republican Trump donors that are outspending him 6-1. So justicedemocrats.com/Jamal. All right, so check that out. And real quick, let's look at our thermometer here at tyt.com/go. And Jamal was so nice. He came on the show this week and said, you guys were the first one to give me a shot. First interview ever, okay? So that's how we do it at tyt.com/go. You make that happen. 94,453. Can I see 95,000? Anna, can I see some more news?
Yes, absolutely. So there was a fiery exchange between Representatives Cedric Richmond and Matt Gaetz on the issue of police reform. Now, Matt Gaetz was pretending that he was the real victim in this fiery debate. But it's important to note that this was all meant. It was a debate within the House Judiciary Committee meant to discuss and talk about what needs to be included in legislation to reform policing in the United States. Matt Gaetz and other conservatives want amendments that would lead to investigations of Antifa, even though there has been no evidence whatsoever that Antifa is involved in these protests or in any violence associated with the protests. In fact, there have been right-wing organizations like the Boogaloo Boys who have carried out acts of violence, including killing, murdering a federal officer. But I want to play this video because I think it's so powerful, and it's also a giant eye roll moment for Matt Gaetz. Take a look.
I'm not interested in studying Antifa. I'm not even interested in studying the Klan or Sovereign Citizens right now, because that is not the imminent threat that black men face on a daily basis. And right now, too often, it is law enforcement. Those who were sworn to protect and to serve. And so all we're asking today is to deal with that. I want it to be crystal clear, and I will give you the benefit of the doubt that it is an unconscious bias that I'm hearing, Because at worst, it's conscious bias. And that I would hate to assume from any of the people on the other side.
Will the gentleman yield?
Sure.
I appreciate your passion. Are you suggesting that you're certain that none of us have non-white children? Because you reflected on your black son and you said none of us could understand.
Matt, stop. I'm not about to get sidetracked about the color of our children. We're talking about black kids. I reclaimed my time.
You said that.
I reclaimed my time. I know.
You want the discussion?
I know that.
The gentleman reclaimed his time.
I said I reclaimed my time. I already know that there are people on the other side that have black grandchildren. It is not about the color of your kids. It is about black males, black people in the streets that are getting killed. And if one of them happens to be your kid, I'm concerned about him, too. And clearly I'm more concerned about him than you are. So let's be clear about that.
You're claiming you're more concerned for my family than I do? Who in the hell do you think you are?
Gentlemen,
if the shoe fits.
You don't know how much we care about our families.
Kick dog holler.
You should take those words down. I know you care about your family and love your family.
The gentleman will suspend. The time belongs to the gentleman from Louisiana.
Cedric, would you yield?
Was that a nerve?
The thing that gets to me about that video is just like the insincerity and the disingenuous nature of what Matt Gaetz is doing. Like, he's just, I know that, like, he's acting, right? Like, and I hate when the right wing does, I hate when anyone does this. When they will take a situation, a serious problem in the country that needs to be resolved and addressed, and they'll somehow twist it in a way to make it appear as though they're the victims. The ones who have been supportive of that horrible system from the beginning will turn around and be like, I am the victim here. And I'll tell you why. It turns out Matt Gaetz has an adopted son that we didn't know anything about until today. I'll give you the details on that, but Cenk, jump in.
Yeah, that was one of the best things I've seen in Congress. So Cedric Richmond, thank you. And look, all day long, they try to distract. Oh, how about the autonomous zone in Seattle? How about Antifa? How about a bunny rabbit? How about Easter? Whatever, right? So, and Rich was like, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about protecting African-American people, and we're trying to resolve that by actually getting something done. And so Gaetz, he's got this little ace in the hole, he thinks. He's like, I adopted a kid like when he was like 28. And he's not black, but you'll see, he's not perfectly white. Oh, I can't wait to unleash this. I'm going to do it on Twitter later. Oh, Cedric, what about me, huh? What about me and my non-white kid? Then protect your non-white kid. Instead of fighting to make sure that minorities in this country continue to be abused. So he's such a pathetic attention whore, Matt Gaetz. And I love that Cedric Richmond slapped him down verbally.
So later, as you mentioned, Cenk, Matt Gaetz did share some information about his son, who he adopted from Cuba. His name is Nestor. And again, we haven't heard about Nestor until today. So he shared this specific photo on Twitter. And I was like, oh, okay. But I want to learn more about Nestor. They look like they're literally the same age. But they're 17 years apart. Matt Gaetz is 38. Nestor is 19. And here's what Gaetz had to say about him. For all those wondering, this is my son, Nestor. We share no blood, but he is my life. He came from Cuba, legally, of course, 6 years ago and lives with me in Florida. I'm so proud of him, and raising him has been the best, most rewarding thing I've done in my life. So he allegedly adopted Nestor when he was 12. He also writes, Nestor turned 19 a few days ago and will be off to university. He arrived here at 12. As you can imagine, I was triggered when, to make an absurd debate point, a fellow congressman diminished the contributions of Republicans because we don't raise non-white kids. Well, I have. I know that picture, it's hard to tell in that picture. If he's adopted from Cuba, there are white Cubans. Like, there are white Cubans, there are Afro-Cubans, and I've looked at other pictures of him, and I just... You guys should look into it. There are other pictures of him, and he's I don't know. We're having a conversation about black people getting gunned down and choked out and murdered on our streets. And Matt Gaetz is bringing up this case involving a Cuban person that he adopted when he was 12 years old, just to make him out to be the victim in this case, to make Matt Gaetz out to be the one who's aggrieved and the one who needs to be apologized to. It's just sick. It's just totally sick.
Yeah, I actually, a couple more things there. First of all, he's like, oh, he came legally from Cuba. Well, people from Cuba have amnesty. So if we applied the same standard to people coming in from Mexico, then they would all be coming legally. So your argument makes no sense on that front. Second of all, there's a newspaper article that shows Matt Gaetz calling this same kid a student, not his son, but a student, 4 years ago. So wait, was he a rando student or was he your son? And when exactly, he came at 12, when exactly did you adopt him? Before his 29th birthday or after his 29th birthday? Now, look, I know that he's theoretically 19, and I guess he adopted him at some point. He's not married. I mean, maybe they have a wonderful, loving relationship, and Gaetz's sister has put up a bunch of pictures of this kid with the family. And so, but between him and Laura Ingraham, they look like they're using human props for political reasons.
And that's the problem. So if he truly adopted this guy and they have a loving, close relationship, all the power to them. Like, that's not where the criticism is coming from. The criticism is using people as props, which is what it feels like happened during this exchange. And I also want to just read a tweet that I shared by Tia Mitchell. She's a reporter, and she tweeted the following. I first heard of Nestor when I wrote an article in 2015 about Gaetz. He had ridiculed black lawmakers and was accused of racism. A GOP operative called and said, Gaetz was hurt partially because his girlfriend and her son were people of color. Anyway. We have our post-game show coming up. Check it out, tyt.com/join to become a member. Awesome stories for you, including Trump's comments on what happened to Rayshard Brooks. We'll see you soon. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/tyt. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.